The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
People who use wheelchairs often find themselves dealing with serious shoulder injuries and even pain. The problem is the repetitive motions required to move the chair. More than 20 muscles in the arms and the upper body are put in motion each time the wheelchair user tries to go somewhere. But help may be on the way. A UW-Milwaukee researcher is involved in a project that could bring real relief to the many people confined to wheelchairs, but who are paying a big price for that constant pushing and pulling. Joining us in the studio today is Brooke Slavens. Brooke is an assistant professor in the College of Health Sciences at UWM and leader of the Mobility Laboratory, which is located at the Innovation Accelerator Building. That's at UWM's new Innovation Campus Research Park out in Wauwatosa. Brooke, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
So mobility, obviously just a fact of life for all of us. We'd like to get up and go places, but people in wheelchairs have some real issues.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, we're really looking at how we can help improve their mobility and improve their rehabilitation following an injury or following, you know, a certain disease that they may have. So we're doing a lot of new and exciting work at the Innovation Campus to help these types of patients.
Well, describe the kind of work specifically that might help people who are overstraining because of the constant use of all those muscles when they do move the wheelchair.
Sure. So we're working with a company out of Champaign-Urbana called IntelliWheels, who's developed a geared wheel. So the idea behind this concept is to redesign the wheel to make it easier for someone in a wheelchair to push the wheelchair. So that basically translates to making it easier on your joints over time to prevent pain and injury down the road. So we have a new project going on with them that's sponsored by the NIH to develop a multi-speed geared wheel system. And we're doing the human subject evaluation of that. And we're fortunate enough to be working with the VA locally here in Milwaukee to analyze veterans with spinal cord injury and how they're using their wheelchair. So our goal with this is to improve their function and to make it easier for them across their lifespan.
So is it sort of like a 10 or 15 speed bike that that has gears that you could shift through depending on whether you're going up or down a hill?
Yep, exactly. It's very similar to that. So it's a simple concept of technology just applied in a different way. So right now we're analyzing a single speed wheel, and now our new project is to develop a three speed wheel. And the goal ultimately is to make that an automatic transmission type of wheel system. So it could change and move with the patient depending on their needs, if they're going up or down hills or over ramps or on different types of terrains, just to make it easier for them in whatever their need would be.
It seems like such a logical way to go ahead and make things easier for mm-hmm. people in wheelchairs, but it hasn't been tried before.
It's never been done before, and it's, yeah, a relatively straightforward concept that seems to be very promising right now, and a lot of the users have really taken to it and enjoy using this new wheel system that's out there.
What are the challenges that you're finding as you test this new system? Are there any hiccups or bumps that you have to overcome?
Well, there's always, yeah, certain bumps along the road with this system. Some of the mechanical design behind it has been some of the initial challenge of getting that up and running. And then just for it to be, you know, a new design, you know, for people to take on the thought of now they have something that can help them in different types of situations, and how do they then apply this new device. So hopefully just getting the word out about the system will help them. So that's kind of one of the biggest challenges we're working on, is just getting users to want to try to use the new equipment and being comfortable with that.
Is there resistance by people who are in wheelchairs to try something new?
The biggest challenge usually is just in how someone goes about getting the system in terms of insurance or payment. But once they kind of get over that hurdle, they're usually open to new ideas and new technologies.
Now, we all have seen people moving around town, people who have mobility issues either little carts or even a wheelchair-type device that is powered by batteries. What's the advantage or the reason why some people would choose this geared system versus automated system?
Right. So the geared system, one of the appeals to it is that it's a low-cost system. So that's been one of our design challenges as well, just to make it low-cost, to make it available to a lot of people. So as opposed to a power wheelchair or other types of manual wheelchairs, this system, by just changing the wheel type itself, keeps it at a low cost through some of the design mechanisms that we're using.
I was surprised as I was doing the research to see that some people who are in wheelchairs really value the ability to have some control over where they're going, and they like the idea of using their hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by using their arms and really helps them stay active, and by staying active, we can stay healthier. So the longer that we can have someone be able to manually propel the wheelchair as opposed to transitioning into a power chair is ultimately better for that patient in the long term.
Because they're getting a lot of exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
So what kind of reaction are you getting from the people who you have tested it on so far?
Right. They really enjoy using it. They found it to be especially helpful for them in different types of community environments as well as in their home. So we've really been happy with the feedback that they've had with the system, and they helped us develop our new design as well. So we had some user feedback that directed us to do the multi-speed, multi-gear wheel for this new design.
Now, you're not working alone on this. You mentioned that it's a project funded by the NIH, the National Institute for Health, but you have other partners too.
Yes. So we're working with the company IntelliWheels out of Champaign-Urbana, and we're also working with the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. And then we're partnering along with a company, Tylite, as well, that's a wheelchair manufacturer. So we kind of got input from occupational sciences and technology, with physical therapists, with rehab engineers, and with mechanical engineers, as well as the users and the consumers.
And all of this comes together here at UWM.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's very exciting. It's been a great opportunity. And, you know, by having the close proximity now at Innovation Campus, we can easily collaborate with MCW and the VA to help make this dream a reality.
So you have all the players there. I mean, you've got people who can bring patients to you and then the people who can actually make the wheels, right? Mm-hmm. Make the gears.
Yep, yep. And a lot of this has also been contributed to by students. So students at UWM as well as students at University of Illinois have had the opportunity to help share in this project.
Well, we have so much more to talk about besides the wheelchair, because you're part of a much bigger operation at the university in the College of Health Sciences, the R2D Center, the Rehabilitation Research Design and Disability Center. Roger Smith, who leads that, actually has been a guest on our program and has talked about some of the amazing work that's being done to help people who have issues in terms of mobility, accessibility, to use technology to get along better. And certainly you're at the forefront of this with this particular project.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, all the work that we're doing is really intended to help people with disabilities. So whether that, you know, helps them move better, helps them rehab better, get back to work faster, we all have the same goal for them.
Now, you're headquartered right now. You're doing a lot of this work out at the Research Park, UWM's new Research Park. So I've actually had the benefit of being in your laboratory in this sparkling new white building out in Wauwatosa. For our listeners who've not been out there, you have to take a look at this 70-acre research park that UWM is putting up. And the very first building is the place where you're doing a lot of this research. And I got to tell you, I brought visitors in, people who are curious about our research, and they are blown away when they walk into your research lab. Describe, paint a picture of that for our listeners.
Right. So the building is very impressive. It's been one of Dave Gilbert's visions for the entire campus. So you come up a hill with a big stone wall and you see the words innovation and accelerator right on the front of the building. So that kind of lays the picture of what you're stepping into. It brings, you know, a lot of the natural light and other environments from outside come to life inside as well, which is really great for us because even though we're working in a laboratory, we always want to assess and keep in mind what the patient is doing in their real world environment. So inside of our laboratory, we have a motion capture system, which is a Vicon system where we can help analyze how patients move. So how does a human subject move in their environment and in their community?
And that's an incredible system by itself. For our listeners who saw the movie Avatar, for example, mm-hmm. where you see these, you know, sort of morphed together characters, part human and part animation, they actually create that with what patches that use computers to match movement or map mm-hmm. movement.
Right.
You're using
right.
that same equipment in these multi-million dollar movies.
Yep, same technology. Same technology for animation, but we're just using it for a clinical perspective on how the body moves and what's happening inside the body at the joint level and at the muscle level. So just a different application, but just as fun as the animators for movies.
And it goes so far beyond just simply videotaping someone because, as I've seen the demonstration, you can mm-hmm. actually see the limbs move and you see joints turning in ways that you mm-hmm. otherwise might never have been mm-hmm. able to capture in terms
yep.
of detail.
Yep, definitely. And then along with some of our other equipment, we can take additional measurements that go along with that. So in order to move, you need to get, you know, your muscles to fire at the right time and muscle recruitment. How is that happening? So we can use our EMG system to look at muscle activations as well.
EMG,
so those are other types of electromagnetic sensors.
Okay. Oh, got it.
Electromyography.
Okay, got it. So you're using some of the state-of-the-art tools to actually help capture the data and then measure or study it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've got this motion capture system, and you're doing it in this large room, but it's not just any room. You've got a special floor that your clients walk on.
Mm-hmm. So we have a floor that's a raised floor, and within the floor we have sensors. So when someone would walk across part of the floor, we can measure how much force they're putting on the floor itself. So similar to like a bathroom scale, if you think of how that measures your weight, but we can do this three-dimensionally. So it three-dimensionally gives you information about how much force is being placed on your joint. So then we can use that to determine how much loading is happening, say, at someone's knee before or after a knee replacement. So we can use it in the context of assisting rehab and assisting care for patients.
So that's one amazing part of the lab. What else is in there?
So we have additional equipment. We have a state-of-the-art Burtec balance system that can be used with a virtual environment. So similar to like a virtual reality environment where you can have a visual display of a grocery store or a visual display of a park, and you can have someone in the system while we're assessing their balance, while they're performing otherwise activities of their normal daily life.
So what kind of people would be benefiting from that sort of testing?
Right. So
what
right,
sort of problems
right
would they
now
have?
We're using that system with amputee subjects in order to assess different types of alignment and how their balance is affecting just their general day-to-day activities. So we can use that system to get more information on how we can help strengthen certain muscles to improve their balance. So we also have a strength assessment system that's right next to that as well to give us information on muscle strength during different activities.
Brooke, is the goal in this rehab lab that you've got to just understand how to go ahead and provide better advice to one of your clients who might have an issue getting around? Or is it to create some new equipment or new technology that will aid in their rehabilitation or make it easier for them to go about their daily life?
Mm-hmm. So both. Yeah, to answer that. So we're using a lot of this for assessment and evaluation, which we work really closely with the physicians that are right across the street at MCW to help improve their patient care. So one thing that a lot of the state-of-the-art equipment allows us to do is to develop patient-specific tailored rehabilitation. So that's been really fun and exciting. And when you can use that then to fuel new design. So whether we're improving someone's movement or changing what tools they're using, we can use this right now how we're using it to change the design of a wheelchair. We're also using that to change some designs of walkers and crutches and to look at different components of an amputee limb.
And that thus the term for the building or the name of the building, the Innovation Accelerator, by bringing those folks from the medical college or from the VA into your laboratory with their patients, you can get to your answers a lot quicker than if you were just sitting in a laboratory off on your own, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's so much fun just to be in such close contact with our physicians and patients all the time.
And of course, that is the secret to that location. A lot of people said, why is UWM building a research park out in Wauwatosa? Aren't they over on the east side?
Yep.
But it's all about partners, isn't it?
Yep. That's been a really big key to our success and to the success of our patients being able to provide better care for them.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Great to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio is Brooke Slavens. Brooke is an assistant professor in UWM's College of Health Sciences. She also runs the Mobility Lab at UWM's Innovation Accelerator building out at the new research park that UWM has in the heart or in the center of the Milwaukee County Medical Complex. Quite an amazing place. If you haven't been up Watertown Plank Road, which you may not have been because it's been torn up for the last year, the road's back together now, and as they build that new interchange near you, it's really turning into just a jewel of a research park. Brooke, how did you get interested in helping other people with their movement, with mobility?
That's a great question. Yeah, a lot of my work started in my undergraduate time at the University of Iowa. I did some work in rehabilitation and started in biomedical engineering, which is what my background is in. And then I actually went to Marquette University for my graduate work. And working with Gerald Harris there, I really developed a strong interest in rehabilitation, focused around rehabilitation engineering with a lot of work and emphasis on pediatric mobility. So just, you know, working with the patients and just seeing how rewarding that is for children and their families as well as adults throughout the lifespan, it's just been, extremely rewarding.
Do you ever get frustrated or depressed looking at the fact that some of these folks have such serious issues, especially young kids getting around?
They're always the most positive to be around, and when you're around them, you'll see right away that they don't see themselves any different than anyone else. So that puts a whole nother light on things and is always very positive. So I think it's actually contrary to what most people would think.
And the reason I ask is I tend to be, at least I think I am, kind of an empathetic person. And and if I see somebody in pain, I'm almost feeling it for them. And but as I think about my encounters with folks with disabilities, you know, rarely do I see people feeling sorry for themselves.
Yep, absolutely.
It's get out of my way.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And it's nice to know that I can do something to try to make a difference for them. So it's very, you know, encouraging and helps keep that drive going to know that, you know, by some of these new designs and technologies that we're bringing to them, we'll be able to have a positive impact on their life.
This is relatively new, isn't it? The fact that we're spending a lot of time and a lot of research money trying to advance the way in which people get around from ailments or impediments that have been with us forever.
Right. So with the, you know, increasingly larger number of aging population, that's one of the driving factors for sure, as well as with the high number of veterans that are returning, you know, back to us, as well as, you know, just similar types of disabilities and new disabilities where people are living longer with those disabilities. Rehabilitation has really become a forefront of where new things need to happen.
I've heard that a lot of the big recent investments in rehabilitation have been prompted by vets coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq. Is that a fair statement?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So the federal government said, mm-hmm. we really have to put our money up to mm-hmm. help these folks who went off to defend us. So mm-hmm. talk about the veterans that you mm-hmm. see that come into the laboratory. What's their mindset like?
Right. So a lot of the veterans we're working with right now are those with spinal cord injury. We're also working with veterans that have had amputations. So different types of challenges for them. But all very excited to be participating in a lot of the work we're doing to help, you know, design new prostheses and to develop new technologies for wheelchair mobility, just to help them in their everyday life.
Now, again, you use the word development, so that means that some of the tools or some of the systems that you're working with may not be finished yet. You're testing to see what works best. Does that sit well with your clients as they come in? Do they know that this is a work in progress?
Yeah, I think for a lot of them, they're excited to be a part of that and to be, you know, at the beginning stages of certain developments, you know, such as our geared wheel system, and to be one of the first to test that out or to take it home and to know that they're in a unique position to be a part of that research.
So you mentioned your engineering background, and yet mm-hmm. you're in the College of Health Sciences.
Right, right.
How did that happen?
Right, right. So my background in biomedical engineering basically very much complements the occupational therapists. So in the department that I'm in, I work very closely with occupational therapists. And then just being a biomedical engineer, we often tap into those therapists. So whether it's occupational therapists as well as physical therapists, it's a really nice mix of skill sets. So they complement me just as much or more than I complement them. And without them, we wouldn't be where we are today with a lot of our technologies and designs and applications. So they really bring the clinical expertise where, as an engineer, I can provide a lot of the, you know, mechanical, technical expertise.
There's a word that you hear a lot on college campuses these days, not just at UWM, but all over, and that is interdisciplinary. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you are a book showcase example of what interdisciplinary stands for.
Thanks. Yeah. I think without even trying, that's just how and where I ended up with what we're doing. So it really is, yeah, teamwork to do everything that we're doing.
And so not only do you have the benefit of working with fellow faculty members at UWM from maybe another school or college, but you mentioned the involvement of medical college and the mm-hmm. fact that you're located just down the block from this other wonderful research institution. Mm-hmm. That has to be gratifying too.
Yeah, it's been awesome just to do that. So we have another project that we're working with the Department of Orthopedic Surgery on, looking at muscle recruitment after a rotator cuff surgery repair. So that's an exciting project that we've been working on over a number of years. We have medical students involved now, as well as residents and fellows, as well as the physicians. So just by being, close by, that's been very helpful just for that collaboration in and of itself.
Anybody in your laboratory who came from the health sciences side who say, I want an engineering degree, just like Brooke?
Close, yeah. I've definitely had therapists and those with a clinical background do engineering types of applications. And whether they admit it or not, I think they have, developed a love for some of the technical skills that they've gained in engineering as well, even though they probably don't even realize that they're getting a lot of different input from all different types of careers and backgrounds.
Well, and if you've thinking all of your life you want to be in physical therapy, it may be a great moment to step back and realize, wow, there's a whole nother group of people that I need to be working with to really be successful, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
So just a couple of minutes left, and I do have to ask you, where do you see the research going? You know, how long before you finish up, for example, the wheelchair initiative?
Right. So that project is a 2-year project, and we're planning for additional phases beyond that. So one of the fun things about research is how it leads to more questions. So we always have more questions and new applications for where we can take a lot of this work, you know, looking at more patients, new patients with different models, different applications of all the work. And some of it ends up being, you know, different types of projects that we've worked on that come together and to answer similar questions.
You mentioned you're working with manufacturers on this project.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there will be a new wheelchair system
Yes.
in place in a couple of years?
Yeah. Yep. So one of the outcomes of our study in the next year will be to have a commercially available multi-geared wheel through the IntelliWheels company.
For anybody who's had someone in their family with mobility issues, either difficulty walking or indeed in a wheelchair, that has to be mm-hmm. has to be very, very encouraging news that things could get easier down the road. And and in terms of the work with the kids, what's the big project on that front?
Right. So with kids, a lot of the work we're doing right now is with different types of mobility devices, looking at not only wheelchairs but also walker and crutch usage. And this is in children with spinal cord injury, cerebral palsy, spina bifida, and osteogenesis imperfecta. So we're looking at how children transition as they age into adulthood. So knowing that adults have a lot of challenges with pain and arthritis, we're looking at how can we intervene at an early age to prevent that from occurring. So transitional care is one of our primary focuses with the children that we're working with right now.
So rather than presuming that there is a predetermined path that these youngsters will go down as they move forward, you think that you could find ways to get them moving differently and more mm-hmm. effectively so all of those complications might not occur?
Yep. That's our goal, that just by changing the rehabilitation strategies that we're using, that we can help prevent a lot of those ailments or, you know, pain and other joint degenerative issues from occurring.
Wow. Well, keep mm-hmm. up the amazing work, Brooke.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing information. And best of luck as you continue your work in the mobility lab.
Thank you.
Brooke Slavens, our guest on this week's program, assistant professor in the College of Health Sciences. Brooke runs the mobility lab at the Innovation Accelerator at UWM's new Innovation Campus Research Park out on the west side out in Wauwatosa. That's all for this week's program. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next week. I'm Tom Lujack.
You have been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.